Good morning, brothers and sisters. Have you shouted for joy yet? Let's shout for joy that there is no more obstacle between God and us. The Lord has destroyed all the hindrance. The Lord Jesus has shed the blood for us and dealt with the problem of sin. His precious blood has made the new covenant for us. It is the covenant of love which binds the Lord and us forever. There is no more condemnation. There is no hindrance between the Lord and us. And there is nothing that can separate us from the Lord even a little bit. There is no separation. We have united with the Lord closely. We will dwell with the Lord in the end of spring. His covenant of love gives us full confidence. We have the assurance to face our coming days. We have the fullness of hope in eternity. It's so good that we don't have to wait for eternity. We can draw near to Him and experience Him closely. I'd like to sing a hymn in Songs of Love 3, Psalm 47. No more condemnation, no more separation. I'd like to sing the second and the first stanza.
I treasure most, You died for me. Redeems me to be yours forever. Oh, the love scar of your pierced side, You kept your love pledge ever engraved. Between us, Lord, there's no more sin. Only your covenant of love, You forever abide in my heart, the deepest union of love. In heaven I sit with You, most accepted by God. You dwell in my heart to be my glorious hope. No more condemnation, no more separation. Wherever joined as one. As one forevermore. Oh, the love scar of your pierced side, You kept your love pledge ever engraved. Between us, Lord, there's no more sin, only your call. Between us, the deepest union forever. In heaven I sit with You, most accepted by God. You dwell in my heart to be my glorious home. No more condemnation, no more separation. Wherever joy as one. With joy I'll live with You, Lord, in the endless spring. Enjoy eternity and Your boundless steadfast love. The Trinity embraces all His precious loved ones in New Jerusalem. God's boundlessness will enjoy.
I hope you have time to be still and respond to Him. Or you can sing another hymn to worship the Lord. Let's have some time to be with Him face to face. You can stop the recording and we'll read the Bible when you're done. May the Lord bless you. Brothers and sisters, we'll read in the letter to Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 19. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all we have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the fullness of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say these in order that no one may delude you with possible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, we walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. These He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. There are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. There are 23 verses in total in the letter to Colossians chapter 2, and we will read from verse 1 to 19. In my personal opinion, it would be better if verse 20 to verse 23 are explained together with chapter 3. That's why we didn't read verse 20 to 23 today. The Laodiceans were mentioned in chapter 2, verse 1. And they were the brothers and sisters in the Laodicean church, and those who had never met Paul. As I've mentioned before, Paul had never been to the church in Colossae, and the church in Colossae was not started by him. Most likely, it was started by Epaphras. And Laodicea was also mentioned in this chapter. In fact, the cities of Laodicea, Colossae, and Hierapolis were very close to one another. Thus, brothers and sisters in these cities had close contact and interaction with one another. they were facing the similar problem as well. Therefore, the letter of Paul to the church in Colossae would reach Laodicea. Of course, it would also reach various cities. As we mentioned in the last chapter, the Colossian church encountered many problems in truth and belief. What worried Paul more was their pursuit of understanding the Lord. He was afraid they would go astray and pursue it in the wrong direction. Hence, Paul wrote to them. Although he had never been to the city of Colossae, yet he had great interest for the brothers and sisters there. Paul also prayed for them and hoped that they truly knew Christ, truly knew God, and truly knew the mysteries of God. And Paul clearly states that the mystery of God is Christ in verse 2. Paul already emphasized in chapter 1 that God has revealed the mystery hidden for ages and generations through Jesus Christ. And Paul explained further that this mystery was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This mystery didn't refer to something secret that cannot be known. Not that God doesn't want people to know either. Otherwise, God wouldn't reveal his mystery. God opened his mystery to us because he liked us to know and want us to know his heart indeed. And it was described as a mystery because when we know it, we will be shocked and surprised, for it is truly amazing, unexpected, and unbelievable. If God wasn't the one to reveal to us, there is no one could be able to understand and know it. There are more than 10 mysteries in the Bible. Do you know? Most of them are related to you and me. God opened his heart to us. I was so grateful when reading this verse. God's mystery, which is Christ. Because God himself is already a mystery. The mystery of God is the mystery of mysteries, which is the Lord himself. And in fact, I'm able to know the secret hidden in the heart of God. Do you know, it is so wonderful. It's really awesome. The knowledge of God's mysteries is the true knowledge, and it's not just the knowledge in mind. That is to say, not only I know the meaning literally, but I can experience the real meaning. What is the meaning of God's mystery, which is Christ? Truly, God likes each of us to experience and enjoy the Lord himself. He likes all these to be done upon us from the bottom of his heart. And you will discover all these wonderful treasures once you understand and experience the Lord, which is far beyond what we have ever known. It is something which cannot be described, nor can it be explained by the knowledge of the world. Thus, Paul mentioned in verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Truly, the Lord is all-inclusive. I was impressed by this verse that knowing the Lord is the most essential. Since all the wisdom which was mentioned, especially the truth, which is to gain the wisdom of God, and knowledge is the way of helping us to know the truth. Thus, when we know that Christ, in which are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, then we understand our desire is towards the Lord. It is the pursuit of the Lord himself. And there's nothing better than him. The Lord himself is the source of all wisdom and knowledge. Why did Paul say that? Paul gave the reason in verse 4. For the church in Colossae was under a lot of ideological impact at that time. There were many philosophical arguments that Paul described as deluded view with possible arguments. In fact, they were species fallacies that would be a bad influence to the brothers and sisters in deviating the teachings of the Bible. Paul just liked to remind the brothers and sisters not to be confused by those so-called new knowledge and not to pursue those species argument. It is the Lord himself they should pursue. He is the source of all wisdom and knowledge. Brothers and sisters, Brother Paul is reminding us as well. In fact, there are many such poetical and specious arguments in this generation. We shall be cautious and careful. The words of Brother Paul's are also for us. As we have not met Brother Paul personally, Thus, this letter was not only for the church in Colossae and the church in Laodicea, but also for you and me. Well, I can say the letter to Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 5 is the first part of this chapter. It has shown the direction of our pursuit. The mystery of God is Christ. All wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Him. We have to gain the Lord and experience Him. Surely we shall know that the mystery of God is the Lord Himself. Thus, we need to set our goals in life after our conversion, in order we won't go into the wrong direction. God has opened the secret of His heart. God really likes us to gain Christ and experience the Lord. As you will see that Paul taught us practically how we should experience the Lord and pursue Him from the letter to Colossians chapter 2 verse 6 to chapter 4 verse 6. Therefore, it is very crucial for us to go from chapter 2 verse 6 to chapter 4 verse 6. This arrangement also showed the characteristics of Paul's letter. The first part usually was about the truth and more theoretical, while in the second half, it was more about practice and life. For Paul emphasized practicing the truth and living out the truth. The truth is not for listening, it's for living. You can experience it and live with it. Paul taught us how to pursue starting from the letter to Colossians chapter 2 verse 6. You will realize it was very similar to what Paul taught in the letter to Romans chapter 6. He exhorted brothers and sisters to pursue the Lord by living in union with Him. This is what Paul expects from his brothers and sisters. We have to live out the Lord and experience Him. We need to understand that each of us is the one who has united with the Lord. Paul also used baptism to show that we have died, been buried and resurrected together with the Lord. You see in verse 12 and verse 13, or we can read it again. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him. Verse 13, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Paul liked to remind us, and brothers and sisters here, he showed us the truth in our baptism. We have died and been buried with the Lord. We have died for our sins. The Lord has bore our sins on the cross. Just as in verse 14 mentioned, by cancelling the record of debts that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. It's true that we have no sin. Thanks to the Lord for accomplishing salvation on the cross and removing the barrier between God and us. We're innocent, and there's nothing to keep us from coming before God. What Paul emphasized was not simply the absence of sin, but that we have become new creations. Paul emphasized that the Lord has been resurrected, and not only have we died and been buried with the Lord, but we also have to be resurrected with the Lord and live with Christ. If you remember, Paul also said in the letter to Romans chapter 6 that we have died, been buried, and resurrected with the Lord. Baptism was also used to remind brothers and sisters that we have to live a life of union with the Lord. In the letter to Romans chapter 6, verse 4 to 5 mention, we were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Verse 6, we know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin may be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Paul was eager to tell us the meaning of baptism, that we have been united with the Lord. We walk in newness of life is about how we can live a life of union with the Lord. How precious! We are now living with the Lord day by day. This is the meaning of being alive together with the Lord. So what should we pursue? We are not pursuing power, but the powerful Lord. We are not pursuing holiness, but but the holy and the beautiful Lord. Hence, we shall connect our life with the Lord. Paul also said in him many times, being in the Lord and in Christ means to be united with him. We shall be in him, to live in the Lord and in his love. We shall have the closest union with him, to be with him heart to heart. Our pursuit is living with the Lord day and night. And it's so precious, even the desire of the Lord is the same. He likes to dwell in our hearts. He likes to live with us day and night. And this is the desire in his heart. Paul mentioned food and drink, festival, a new moon, Sabbath, in verse 16 to 19 of this chapter. Why were they mentioned here? In fact, the brothers and sisters in Colossae were influenced by belief at that time. Some people name it as Gnosticism, specifically in terms of food and drink, festival and etiquette. Many rules have been set. The idea behind it is that everything in the material world is bad. Only the spiritual world is clean. It seems to be very spiritual. In fact, it is a trap of asceticism. It creates a lot of restrictions and taboos. It's more legalistic than legalism. Apart from the issues in food and drink, there are also issues in festivals, a new moon, etc. They added a lot of etiquettes, rules and traditions. The original aim of establishing festivals from God was lost. Instead of worshipping God and being close to him, they focus on the superficial form of religion. There is no godliness in the heart, but hypocritical, and it was not the true worship. Man couldn't see what is the most important thing behind the food and drink, festivals, new moon, and Sabbaths. All they could see is just superficially. In fact, there are a shadow of the things to come. Shadow is not real, but the reality that God likes to express in food and drink, festivals, new moon, and Sabbath is Christ, the Lord himself. Paul says the substance belongs to Christ. I was so grateful after reading these verses, for the Lord revealed himself since he come. The substance has been revealed before our eyes, and all of us saw the Lord and accepted the Lord. We knew him and experienced him. My life is no longer illusory, being paranoid. It's so real, and I feel like I have been smarter after my conversion. I wonder if you have the same feeling. It seems I've understood many things in the world. I understand why those things happened. As a result, I have a deeper inspiration and understanding. My heart is calm and restful. I used to feel that I didn't understand a lot of things and didn't know the reasons. I was so confused and so agitated. But it's all clear now, and I know the ending of my life. All in all, I feel that my life is free from anxiety, with certainty, and I can go forward with peace of mind. Well, that's all for my sharing for the time being. Remember, what Paul taught us to pursue has not yet finished. What's next will be the last few verses from chapter 2. Then we'll move on to chapter 3, which will talk about the issues in mind. We'll talk about it next time. Well, it's time for you to be with the Lord personally. Remember, it's such a precious moment to be face to face with him. You can pour out your heart to him, or you can continue to read the Bible and sing a song to worship him, or you can take a walk with him and pour out your hearts to the Lord, which is very treasurable. May the Lord bless you.